All right, Wednesday night, and we are live. Hope everybody's doing good. As always, be blessed. In Jesus' mighty name, we're going to look at all things Trump cabinet meeting. This is like the first time in the history of the United States of America where the cabinet meeting is actually entertaining. I mean, seriously, this is the best time ever in the history of America that the cabinet, even Trump first 2016, wasn't that interesting because Trump had all of those establishment DCites there, whether they were rhinos or even clandestine Democrats. Very boring cabinet meetings. These are great now. You got Elon with two hats on, literally two hats on. I mean, it is absolutely great. You know that Scott Bessent hates Elon Musk, which is great. They got in a shouting match inside the White House, which is perfectly fine. That's the kind of staff you should have. If you're going to run the United States of America, you're going to have people that hate each other on your staff. You don't want a bunch of yes men. So all things cabinet meeting, and just remember where we were. I mean, just remember where we were. Who used to be? We used to be Biden in there, and then at the end, Jill Biden running it, and even at the end, Hunter Biden running it. You had like John Kirby in there. Anthony Blinken in there. I mean, think about it. I mean, it is way better. Javier Baqueria, which we're going to get to in just a minute in there. Alejandro Mayorkas was in there. That was the former cabinet. Those people have been replaced by like the Marco Rubios of the world, Pete Hegseths of the world. What a giant step up. What a massive step up. Lloyd Austin, instead of three mask Lloyd, with his N95, his surgical mask and his spit shield. Now we got Pete Hegseth. I mean, quite the step up. And the cabinet meetings are far more interesting and they're open to the public. They actually carry out cabinet level stuff, not top secret stuff. So the media is going to attack them. But the cabinet level stuff right in front of the media, and everybody sits around and answers questions from the media. Where was that over the last 4 years of the Biden administration? Let me say hey to everybody in the Rumble chat. D9597 is on. Bill F1 is on. Scooter 887 is on. Clean Sanchez is on. Genie Malfeasy is on. Skunk 71 is on. Debnew 2011 is on. Mobetta 01 is on. Mike Griffith is on. Milwaukee James is on. Judy Anita is on. Lady Vu is on. The great T1AU is on. Tim L. T-Bird is on. Guitar Glenn is on. Will Gilbert's on. Salty Gonads is on. K4 VMS is on. DK Jackson is on. Robin Aroni is on. Dead Pal 50 is on. Richard Perry 49 is on. JD Joy 25 is on. Dave Souter is on. Sunwoo 45 is on. Scrolling down to the bottom here. Big Jim Go Blue is on. Bud Dave is on. John Phillips is on. 509-25, McDonald is on. Let me see, I missed anybody. Drummer for Jesus and Confederate One, they are on. All right, let's hop right to this now. Patriots are in control video. What did RFK Jr. just say? This is our really only multi-slide part of this Trump cabinet segment of the show. Got multiple slides, about four, dedicated to what it was that RFK Jr. just said. Play for me, Will.
We have ended HHS as the role, as the vector, the principal vector in this country for child trafficking. And during the Biden administration, HHS became a collaborator in child trafficking and for sex and for slavery. And we have ended that, and we're very aggressively going out and trying to find these children, the 300,000 children that were lost by the Biden administration.
That right there, just so everybody knows, is Armageddon. That is Armageddon. That is a full-scale war declared by RFK Jr. and Donald Trump on the globalists. He just accused, he just accused Catholic Charities, Jewish Family Services, all of the NGOs at the border funded by you and I that are fully staffed by Democrats paying the multi-million dollar salaries. Tom, get off of that. Never. I'm not getting off that soapbox because that's what this country is all about. He just acknowledged what all of us red-pilled people have known, for years and years and years, that the HHS, Health and Human Services, previously headed by Javier Baqueria, I know it's Javier Becerra, by the way, but that's the Biden way. And he actually named them Health and Education Services, is what he said, which I'm going to show you that video in just a minute because it's fun. It's up next, actually. But he just announced and just publicly proclaimed the truth that nobody else will speak, that the principal, not just a vector of child trafficking, the principal vector of child sex and labor trafficking is our own Health and Human Services Division of the federal government, a cabinet position. I mean, that you're basically accusing the Biden administration of sex trafficking, which, by the way, is absolutely true. There is 400, he says 300,000, but it's actually 400,000. There is 400,000 children missing. Not to mention the 495,000 convicted criminals they allowed in this country, 30,000 of which were rapists and murderers. They allowed right into the country who continue to rape and murder and traffic children and traffic fentanyl and traffic children for sex and traffic children for labor. He just publicly acknowledged this. Just like me, this is all coming down right now. People are upset about this. You got blue blood Republicans and half-baked Republicans and Democrats that voted for Trump starting to complain about the economy because of the tariffs. The tariffs haven't even hit yet. The only thing that's happened so far is profit from tariffs. They've had no effect on prices. It's absolutely ridiculous. Well, the GDP went down 0.3%. That's all leftovers from Joe Biden. Did everybody think that Trump was going to come in, and he's been president for 101 days, that he was going to come in and fix the catastrophe that was the absolute economic holocaust that was the Biden administration? $7 trillion worth of debt in 4 years, that Trump was just going to come in and we were going to, and it was just going to be a booming economy overnight when you're $37 trillion in debt, $7 trillion of that actually put on by Joe Biden alone in 4 years, that would just get, everything's going to turn around. You have to do a complete, as much as I hate to use this word, you have to do a complete factory reset on all of this. And that is not pleasant. Reset your device right now. See how pleasant that is. It's not pleasant, but it's absolutely necessary. Otherwise, if you do, you have all these different, you know, congressional idiots, whatever, Dan Goldman, the rest of them. Trump is destroying our economy. What's good about the current one? $37 trillion in debt. So again, if you're going to claim that Trump is destroying something, then what you're alleging that he's destroying must be good. And it was all found out. Every claim the Biden administration, every claim they made that was good turned out to be a lie. Every claim that they made that was bad, that also turned out to be a lie, because those are always things about Donald Trump. Everything he said was absolutely untrue. Remember they touted their job numbers, that they added 1.1 million jobs. Remember that? They had to adjust that just slightly by 830,000. No media reports, no Dan Goldman. Dan Goldman comes out today, Trump's destroying the economy. What economy? It's just like them talking about Trump is, you know, attacking our established norms. Okay, then the established norms must have performed really well. If you're worried about them being attacked, these established norms of governance, then they must have performed really well. We must not be $37 trillion in debt. And we must not be living through hyperinflation. I mean, so if you're going to say that the norms are being attacked, then the norms must be good. Imagine defending norms that you don't want attacked, that are horrible, which is that's what it means to be a Democrat in 2025. So back to this. This is absolutely Armageddon. This is scorched freaking earth, man. For RFK Jr. And you know what? Thank God, literally thank God, that we have somebody in office who's willing to speak. They're starting to come around with COVID too. If you go to the White House, like, you know, it's maybe it's not White, yeah, it probably is. But Trump administration website, White House website about COVID, it's all us now. They're talking about removing the COVID-19 vaccination off of the CDC requirement list, which of course the CDC will say it's not required, it's just recommended, except for all the schools in the country take their recommendations and make them requirements. And they know that. And they're talking about pulling that off right now just because of how deadly it is. This is all being spoken out loud now. I heard an excellent commentary by Joe Rogan. So you just imagine if you flip the script and all of us on the right, we were advocating for these vaccinations and there were 35 million excess deaths and all this blood clotting, all the myo and pericarditis, all the different maladies. Imagine that we were touting them. Can you imagine what we'd all be going through right now if we touted the vax and all these people had died? Imagine, just reverse it. So you have all of this red pilling coming out of the White House and people are complaining. Yeah, like, you know, like Tom, you point out when Trump blows. Yeah, but what do I always say? The things are freaking great. It's the greatest 100 days ever right now. It's the greatest 100 days that you've ever experienced out of a presidential administration in your life, whether you acknowledge it or not. It's, and nobody has come in and made these kind of moves. Has he made mistakes? Yeah, there has been mistakes. You know, releasing the Epstein files with Pam Bondi and the binders, that was wretched. Absolutely wretched. And there's other embarrassing moments too. Nobody's perfect. But you know what? You actually have a bulldog in there actually making real moves. Because if you don't, you can win the day economically. You can win the day. Oh, I didn't lose a dime out of my Social Security. I didn't lose a dime out of my 401k. And then you win the day, but you lose it all tomorrow. If you don't fix it, you may win today and lose it all tomorrow. It's like all of, eventually, you're going to have a massive adjustment in whether it's Medicaid, military, Social Security. There's going to have to be adjustments or nobody gets anything in the future. Well, I win today because my Social Security doesn't get cut. Well, fantastic that it doesn't get cut today, because if you take a 5% cut today, you'll have it. You'll have that same 95% 10 years from now. If you don't take the 5% cut today, you'll have zero 10 years from now. Listen, that's the way Social Security already is, by the way. It is set to go bankrupt in 2035. That's a fact. That's an absolute fact. And by the way, it's already, as Elon Musk said, a Ponzi scheme, because it's empty. It has nothing in it. You're simply being paid off of all of us that are still contributing via FICA. That's it. All right. But anyway, back to RFK. So this was an absolutely devastating, correctly devastating statement that the principal vector, the principal supplier of child sex trafficking is Joe Biden, Kamala Harris, Javier Baqueria, and Alejandro Mayorkas. Those are the principal vectors of child sex trafficking. Now let's hearken back to the day, just a moment, where, it's a Richard video, where Joe Biden hired Javier Becerra. Play for me.
Introduce to you now, who will lead the way. I'm really proud of this group. For Secretary of Health and Education Service, I nominated Javier Baqueria.
And he gets, you know, Joe Biden, this is a leftist, this is a real, you know, just a leftist norm now. It's leftist in all considerable ways. They want to make something more valid. So they raise their voice or they make it dramatic. I'm real excited about this. And then he says, I'd like to introduce to you the new, this is exactly what it said, Health and Education Secretary. Health and Education, said, by the way, there is no Health and Education. There is no Health and Education Secretary either. It's Health and Human Services. And his and Health and Education, right there, and then the media tells us he's perfectly fine. Health and Education Secretary, Javier Baqueria. How do you get Baqueria out of Becerra? There's no way to get that out of there. All right, let's go to the next one. RNC research video. This is, you know what? Again, you're like, Tom, you don't like John Cornyn. You know, it's a good moment. I'll show you any good moment from any politician. I don't care what side of the aisle they're on. If they have a good moment, or media member. Or we show Bill Maher. When Bill Maher decides to have a true cognitive moment, we show him, which are not very often, more often now than they used to be. But RNC research video, there have been about 400,000 missing years. Here's Cornyn interrogating Javier Baqueria. Play for me.
And there have been about 400,000 of these unaccompanied children that have come to the United States during President Biden's term of office. Can you tell us where they are now?
We can give you information on the vetting process and
no, I ask you, do you know where they are now?
As I said to you, we can tell you who the vetted sponsors were that received
That's
these kids.
That's not what I ask you.
Yeah, where are all the 400,000 kids? Who displaces, who loses 400,000 kids? Well, I guess we can also ask where the, I don't know, what is it, $20 trillion that the Pentagon has lost? Yeah. And again, Dan Goldman will come on and say, you know, Donald Trump is attacking our established governmental norms. Good. $20 million, $20 trillion missing out of the military, out of the Pentagon. They haven't passed an audit in 7 years. And you're attacking somebody for attacking that norm as if that norm is good. 400. Who can even pull that off unless you're trying to lose them? Who can lose 400,000 people in 4 years? And that's, again, what we know of. That's not counting gotaways and people that got across the border that weren't counted. These are the kids that were actually counted. And Javier Becerra is asked, where are the 400,000 kids? I can tell you about our vetting procedures. Is that the question? Is that the question you asked, Aaron?
Nope.
No, he asked simply, where are all the kids? I can tell you about our vetting procedures. I mean, these are the norms that the Democratic Party doesn't want to attack when there's 400,000 kids. I thought that you sent AOC down there to cry over the cages. You sent her down there to cry over the cages. She's all white. That's what Democrats always do because they're actually, you know, just corrupt. And white is the kind of the opposite color of corruption. So they always like to wear white. She's down there in her all white. Man, they always show up for the State of the Union whenever Trump's speaking. And they're all in white. And they're the most corrupt, blood-stained people on the planet. But anyway, lots and lots of blood on their hands from abortion and everything else. So they send her down in all white, and she does the photo op where she's crying. Turns out she's actually crying outside of a fenced-in parking lot. And down there crying, but she doesn't cry about the 400,000 kids that are missing. I'm just wondering if you have true principles, and you're not just simply acolyting for the Democratic Party, then why wouldn't you be crying over 400,000 kids, 100,000 missing per year, trafficked into sex slavery for the rest of their lives? No cry, no tears from AOC. Javier Becerra just announced he's running for governor in California to challenge Kamala Harris. Here's one of the reasons why they hate each other. Okay, this is behind the scenes. I've never seen this video before, but this is actually from about a year ago, a year and 2 months ago. This is an Alex video titled "Everything Is Fine." Is that in the subtitle is "How Biden Botched the Border." You'll see that. So Fox News with Bill Malugin. This is some behind the scenes of the Biden administration about those 400,000 missing kids. Play for me.
Well, Jesse, Axios dropped an absolutely brutal article today that really pulls back the curtain on just how much infighting and dysfunction there has been in the Biden administration when it comes to the border crisis. So we'll talk about some of the highlights here. According to Axios, Biden advisor Susan Rice privately called HHS Secretary Javier Becerra a, quote, bitch ass and an idiot over his handling of migrant children, and also passed a note to DHS Secretary Mayorkas that read, quote, don't save him, as Biden was berating Becerra. Biden reportedly exploded in rage at his staffers on Air Force One while heading to the border last year after he demanded obscure border data and his staff didn't have it. Axios also reports DHS Secretary Mayorkas disagreed with Biden's initial 100-day halt on deportations, that a Homeland Security advisor had to ask what the difference between refugees and asylum seekers is, and that Border Czar Kamala Harris's staff made it clear her responsibilities, quote, began and ended with only the root causes in the Northern Triangle countries. Axios also reports, quote, as the humanitarian conditions at the border have deteriorated and the politics surrounding immigration have become a thorn for Biden, he becomes scratchier when the issue comes up, according to current and former aides. There are definite incentives to not be the person who owns the scary issue with no solutions. That's according to a former.
So these are the government norms that all the Democrats are defending right now. I mean, when you have Susan Rice calling Javier Becerra a B.A. idiot. Because 400,000, even Susan Rice, no, she doesn't care, give two craps about the kids. She loves to abort them, will gladly abort them long before they're born. Tom, that doesn't mean you don't care about kids. Absolutely does. Absolutely does. If you're going to abort them before they're born, you don't give a crap about kids or humanity, which of course they don't. That's why they're perfectly willing to inject you with a clot shot. But anyway, if they can't abort you in the womb, they'll abort you in the birth canal. They can't abort you in either one of those, they'll abort you after you're born, which many of them want to do and try to pass legislation to do so, up to 28 days after birth in the state of California. But that just shows you, this is what Dan Goldman, he was like, you know what? Donald Trump is attacking all of these governmental norms. Well, good, you have Susan Rice calling the governmental norms B.A. idiocy. And Dan Goldman is defending it. That's what it means to be a Democrat in 2025. Defending B.A. idiocy. I mean, that's what it actually means. 400,000 kids missing. Number one vector of child sex trafficking is the United States freaking government under Joseph Robinette Biden. Not anymore, because you know why? The border is 99.9% closed. Last month, three people were let in. Three. Three. Not 3,000, not 300. Not like Joe Biden was 300,000 per month. Three, remember that? I want everyone to remember that. It was 15,000 a day at different times and up to 380,000 just in a month let in for four straight years. And we need comprehensive border reform. All right, you just need a president to enforce the law. That's it. We don't need all of your politicization. We don't need you to form a committee, to decide to form another committee, to decide to have a conference, to decide to whether to have a conference and then to have another meeting. We don't need any of that. We don't need Catholic Family Charities down there. We don't need Jewish Family Services down there facilitating child sex trafficking in the United States of America. We don't need any of it. Just need a president that enforces the law that's already in place. You're not allowed to come into the country illegally. That's the way that it is. Let's go to the next one. Red Wave press video. A California judge. So here we are. Judges fighting against Donald Trump. Still talking about the border right now. California judge has banned Border Patrol agents from arresting illegal immigrants unless they have a warrant or a reason to believe the person might flee before a warrant can be obtained. Now, let's talk about the idiocy of this real quick, and then we'll watch the video. Maybe I won't have anything to talk about afterwards. But anyway, now, of course, just giving you my bona fides, I was a cop myself, 25 years, right where I'm sitting, Sarasota County Sheriff's Office. Pull it up. You can Google it right now. Tom Lipley, Sarasota County Sheriff's Office. Full-fledged deputy sheriff, police car, uniform, all that different stuff. 25 straight years, 92 to 2017. Does everybody realize the asinine idiocy behind that? And somebody who allegedly is a lawyer, somebody who allegedly has risen to the high office of judge, wants to make it illegal to arrest somebody without a warrant? I know that sounds very SVU. I know it sounds very, crime show-esque. I get that. But does everybody realize that is absolutely asinine idiocy? Most arrests are never made with a warrant. So again, get this. Okay, so if I walk up, I'm dispatched to a call, and I walk up to say it's a domestic violence call, since we know Democrats like to release men that commit, judges like to sneak them out, because Abrego Garcia committed multiple acts of domestic violence. The illegal that the judge, Dugan, slipped out the back door. He was in the middle of a trial for domestic violence. So I'll just use that as an example, since Democrats seem to love people who commit domestic violence. So I walk up to a domestic violence call, and I see a guy hit his wife in the head with a baseball bat. I got to go get a warrant. Is that how it is? If I see somebody reckless driving down the road, like DUI, think about that. These are all dispatch calls, folks. You know how many of those that I've responded to in my life where we have a reckless driver, we used to call them signal ones, which is drunk driver, driving, appearing to be signal one, appearing to be drunk. Okay, so I'm gonna go get behind him, right, in my police car, and I'm gonna pull him over for his driving, and then I'm gonna sit on the side of a road and make a phone call to a judge to get a warrant at 3 o'clock in the morning to make the arrest for DUI after he bombs his field sobriety test. This is a lawyer. This is a judge putting out this prereq. I mean, where are we? It's no wonder we call women men and men women. I know us red pill people don't, but no wonder Democrats are like that. And they don't see how this can hurt. So again, if a Democrat, you have a burglary in progress in your home. You know you don't have a gun to defend yourself. And you're calling the cops. The cops are like, well, I see the burglar, but halt. We're calling in the warrant. Yeah, but he is attacking my wife. Got to get a warrant. Right? I mean, do Democrats ever think at all? They think big picture at all, ever? That how this is going to boomerang on them? So it's a red wave press video, but from Fox News. Play for me, Will.
All right, another judicial pushback against President Trump's immigration crackdown. This comes after dozens were arrested in January during Border Patrol's Operation Return to Sender, where agents rounded up people determined to have entered the country illegally. Yesterday, California District Judge Jennifer Thurston demanded CBP agents cannot arrest suspected illegal migrants without a warrant or reason to believe the person is a flight risk before they can get one.
There's the genius. Hey, Aaron, throw that back on there, Ken. There she is. There. I just always like to show the geniuses' faces. This is a woman who went to 4 years of college, allegedly probably getting a pre-law degree, then went into law school, became a lawyer, passed the bar, and is now a judge who is telling the police that they cannot make an arrest without a warrant. How in the world will you ever, does she understand that she just set precedent also? That now other jurisdictions can say, You know what? They require a warrant over there. We required a warrant over here. But just move to those jurisdictions because cops are absolutely defanged then. How are you going to pull anybody over for speeding? I got to get a warrant first. What are you going to do? Okay, so there's a, you're sitting there as a cop. You go in to a convenience store to get a Slurpee, and there's an armed robbery going on. Everybody halt. But I can't arrest you because I've got to get a warrant first. That's what you're going to do? This, idiot. I mean, complete, moronic, asinine idiot. Unbelievable. All right, let's go to the next one. I could talk about, if I get into the cop stuff, I could talk about it all night. The judicial system, court system, watch out. Literally, it's a 40-minute spiel. All right, Steve Guest tweet. Shorter Jeffries. That's the poor man's version of Hakeem Jeffries on the bottom there. No more trips to the Hilton San Salvador Hotel in El Salvador where these three idiot Democrats went down to secure Kilmar Abrego Garcia to bring back the MS-13 wife beater, child trafficker back into the United States. Shorter Jeffries, no more trips to the Hilton San Salvador Hotel bar to defend criminal illegal aliens. Exclusive, Democrats enjoyed, at your expense, luxury resorts and comforts while protesting deportation of alleged MS-13 gang members. So they all checked into the Hilton. Will paid for it, Aaron paid for it, I paid for it, and you paid for it. So they could all have, what, $500-$600 a night? Each having their own hotel room, $500-$600 a night hotel rooms, while they sip margaritas with Kilmar Abrego Garcia. That's what it means to be a Democrat in 2025. That's why they don't want to end. They don't want to end waste, fraud, and abuse, because they want to waste and they want to commit fraud and they want to abuse our tax dollars, going on their own little personal taxpayer-funded vacations down to El Salvador to pretend they care about Abrego Garcia. All right, let's go to the next one. Homeland Security tweet. This is two of these stories here. You probably already seen them, but I just want to make sure they're covered for everybody. This is more freaking lies from the Democrats, from the New York Times. I mean, I just wonder what it's like to wake up having everything in common with Joseph Goebbels. I just wonder. I wonder what it's like to wake up knowing that you are a stenographer for another human being. I'm wondering what it's like to be somebody who wakes up every day with a Democratic hand up your anal puppet chute and making you talk and say whatever it is they want you to say. I wonder what it's like to live like that. How do you look your kids in the eye? How do you look your wife in the eye when you have absolutely no masculinity whatsoever because there's a giant hand up your anus? I'm just curious how that works. I really am. I want to know what it's like to live with no dignity, no humility, no integrity, no human dignity at all. I'm just wondering what it's like, because that's the New York Times, to put out a story like this. 2-year-old U.S. citizen deported. Is that true? Is that true? It's not remotely true. That's not in the editorial section, by the way. It's not somebody's opinion. That is, this is why you have publisher versus platform. They need to be sued into oblivion by Department of Homeland Security. Then you just go ahead and get them. Go get them. Go get them, Christy Noem. Go get them. Sue them into oblivion for this defamatory lie. 2-year-old U.S. citizen deported. Is that what happened? With no meaningful process, judge suspects. Is that at all what happened? Well, let's go to the top. And again, why do you have to have four names? Why? Why do you have to have four names? Why do you have to have six names? Jenny Colina Lopez Valilla illegally entered the U.S. three freaking times and then popped out some puppies, right? And I would love to find out whether these kids actually have birthright citizenship or not, even though I don't believe in birthright citizenship. Her and her daughter were given final orders of removal. Aaron, get this, 5 years ago.
Oh my God.
Listen, so how many puppies did she put out? How many puppies did she pop out between now and then? It says 2-year-old citizen. She was given a final order of removal 5 years ago, and they made sure she had kids here. Birthright citizenship, really a part of the Constitution? And only if you're subject to the jurisdiction therein. Which you're not if you are illegal, which is why you are not due any due process outside of a removal order. That is your due, the process that is due you. That's it. When she was taken into ICE custody in April of 2025 this year, she chose to bring her daughter, an American citizen because of birthright bullcrap, with her back to Honduras. Is that deported, Aaron? Is that deported? What is it like? I'm just wondering. I'm getting, you're like, Tom, get past these things. I can't. I need to understand. I need to understand how you can get up every single day of your life and function as a hand puppet. I just wonder what it's like. I just wonder what it's like to every day know you're going to burn in hell for all of eternity because you're a freaking liar. I just wonder what it's like. Because this is not 1 ounce of this is true. Well, let's hope for the redemption of the New York Times. Go to the next one for me. Nope. Here's another one. Two American children were sent to Honduras with their undocumented mother. Unbelievable. You're like, this is the same story? No, it's different people. This is Raquel. Here we go with the four names. Alexis Morales Valley entered the country illegally. Give it to me, Aaron.
Illegally.
And was released into the interior in 2013. She was given, under Hussein Obama, she was given a final order of deportation 10 freaking years ago.
Oh, my gosh.
How many pups did she put out between now and then? How many pups did she squeeze out between now and then? In February of 2025, this year, she was arrested in Louisiana for speeding, driving without insurance, and driving without a license. What does it mean to be a Democrat in 2025? Just turn a blind eye to all of it and let her just stay. That's what it means. You know, we just had the recent report of the, I'm trying to remember what state it was in, and don't hold me, but it's the guy who killed five people in an 18-car pileup, who's also a immigrant. I didn't actually give his status. But anyway, in driving without a license, when she was taken into ICE custody in April of 2025, she chose. Now, what does it say on the bottom? Two American children were sent to Honduras with their undocumented mother. No, she chose to bring both children because probably the father is also undocumented. If the father was a United States citizen, she would have left him here. But because their birthright, which is not their name, that is not a right by birth. That is not what the Constitution says. Only if you are an American citizen, both parents are American citizens having a baby, therefore all three people are subject to the jurisdiction therein. That's what the Constitution says. If you are an illegal, you're not subject to the Constitution therein. If you want to talk about an illegal with an American citizen, if you have somewhat of an argument there. But why wouldn't she leave him if it was an American citizen who was the father? In either case. Because the father's illegal too, and they know that he's about to get deported, or they know that he could be deported any time, and they don't want to leave the kid in that level of instability. That's why. But in either case, there was no sent to Honduras in the previous deported to Honduras. That never happened. I wonder what it's like to just have absolutely no integrity and just lie for a living like the New York freaking Times. But good news. Good news, Will. Good news, Aaron. Good news, me. Good news to everybody who's watching. We sent them $20 million per year in tax dollars. Isn't that great? Isn't that great? We are funding this. We get to fund our own political opposition. Isn't that fantastic? You get to fund Joseph Goebbels until Elon Musk came around with Doge. All right, let's go to the next one. Again, we're still in the cabinet meeting. So that was Kristi Noem, Department of Homeland Security. So let's go to Doug Burquam, Secretary Doug Burquam. During the first 100 days at Interior, Secretary of the Interior, Doug Burquam, we are mining. That's a good thing. We are mapping. We are drilling and we are building. Look at the headlines down at the bottom. Interior Secretary Doug Burquam to streamline permitting time from years to 1 month. So it's going to go from you want an oil permit or any permit. You know, usually it takes years. That's why we have absolutely no businesses ever starting in the United States of America anymore. Ever. 60% of the businesses that were closed during COVID never reopened. Just throw that in there as a side note. That's why you don't see these businesses like you used to see them in all these towns, these town centers, these main streets are all closed. Washington Free Beacon, Trump administration announced, first one was Breitbart, Trump administration announces first offshore oil lease sale in the Gulf of America. Awesome. Roll call, Interior reopens millions of acres in Alaska for energy development. Washington Examiner Burgum says build, baby, build for workers in energy industry. New York Post, Trump administration will boost Gulf of America oil production by 100,000 barrels a day. That'll work. Under new drilling policy. Absolutely perfect. Go to the next one for me. So this is Secretary of the Interior, Doug Burgum, on CNN. Now listen to how he fights back against Caitlin Collins. He's talking, who's just, again, a Goebbels propagandist. Again, I just wonder, how does Caitlin Collins ever look at, I don't think she's married, whether it's her husband or her date, and say, I'm a quality person, date me. I'm a quality person, marry me. When you lie for a living, when you are a Goebbels propagandist with no integrity and no humility, no accountability, no human dignity whatsoever. You have absolutely no dignity at all when you're bold-faced lying, which she's doing right here in this video, but Doug Burgum straightens her out. Play it for me.
Yeah, we did see oil production at an all-time high under President Biden. He didn't tout it that often, but Secretary Burgum...
Well, he did because of the permitting that happened under President Trump. I mean, the all-time record oil production under Biden was because of Trump. It was in spite of Biden. I was running a state that was a natural resources state, and we were fighting the federal government. Federal government wasn't even holding the legally required lease sales during the Biden administration. First president since Harry Truman was Biden that didn't hold those lease sales. So for them to take credit, that was all because...
Well, they didn't take credit because it wasn't very popular with their voters. Secretary Burgum...
Affordable electricity is popular with everyone, and America needs to make sure we don't lose the thing. I mean, take a look what's happening in Europe right now with this 60 million people in a brownout blackout. We came very close to that happening in America because the Biden administration policy so dangerously eroded baseload in favor of having unreliable intermittent sources. And so we're just fortunate that we're not where Europe is right now, and we don't want to go there. Germany spent $500 billion to go chase a green path. And they ended up with electricity that cost three times as much, and they're producing 20% less.
I love it because she's sitting there going, they didn't tout it very often, but there was record oil production under Joe Biden. That was all leftover permits from Donald Trump because they stopped, quote, the legal requirement lease sales after that. So they have no permitting under Biden. Those were all permits left over from Donald Trump. And then they take credit from him. And believe me, he would know he's the governor. He was the governor of North Dakota, which is one of our primary oil drilling states in America. He knew they were getting no new permits, but we had, imagine touting it, which by the way, Caitlin Holland says she didn't say that very often. I heard it all the time. I watched it all the time. I saw Democrats say it all the time. Record oil production under Joe Biden. All because of leftover permits. And again, permitting is everything for the fossil fuel industry because you're dealing with futures. If you don't have the permits, that's, again, why did gas prices shoot up so high? And then how did Biden lower them? They shot up so high because the oil industry deals with futures. What your future permitting is? Then we're going to be able to continue the oil production at the levels we're currently doing it, at the current prices. Otherwise, if you don't have any permitting coming up, which they didn't, first time in history, again, the legal required lease sales were canceled by Joe Biden. So there was no buy, there was no permitting. And then, well, how did the gas prices go down? He raided the Strategic Oil Reserve and actually damaged the infrastructure of the Strategic Oil Reserve because he raided it. He took so much out of it, he actually damaged the infrastructure of half of the Strategic Oil Reserve infrastructure. That's a fact. Absolute fact. Also coming from Doug Burgum. That's a fact. They're having to rebuild the infrastructure to restore oil. To restore it again. Because Biden raided it so that gas prices went down right before the election. That's how he did it. No new gas, no new permits because he didn't want to tick off the left side of his party, which is the entire party, but the alt-left side of his party. He didn't want to offend any of them. So he raided our Strategic Oil Reserve, took half of it away. For absolutely no reason. I mean, Donald Trump, you saw him, he could turn it up anytime he wants. So, you know, let's turn up Gulf of America production by 100,000 barrels a day. Could turn up. It's like they don't need to raid the SOR. None at all. Where the heck am I? Davey Darkins. All right, Davey Darkins' video. Let's go now to Kash Patel and the FBI. Looks like the FBI under Director Kash Patel is finally cleaning house. Play for me.
Now to a CNN exclusive and a new controversy unfolding inside the FBI. Sources tell CNN that several agents who took a knee during the 2020 George Floyd protests have been reassigned.
Photographs captured agents kneeling during a Black Lives Matter demonstration in Washington, D.C. They were trying to de-escalate tensions after being confronted by a group of protesters while trying to protect federal monuments and buildings. CNN senior justice correspondent Evan Perez is here with more. What's the FBI saying about why these agents were reassigned?
Well, they're not saying much. They say that they can't discuss personnel matters, but look at that photograph. You know, they say a photograph, it takes speaks a speaks a thousand words. Look at that. I messed that up. Speaks a thousand words. I mean, this is one of those cases where, you know, you could, it all depends on your political, where your political spectrum, where you are on the political spectrum, because, you know, certainly people who saw that photograph inside the FBI, some of them were very upset. They thought it was these agents taking a position, essentially endorsing Black Lives Matter and the protests on the George after the death of George Floyd. Others saw an effort to de-escalate because these agents were surrounded. There were like 800 protesters around them, and they, it could, you know, obviously given the tensions in that period, there were violent protests the days before. This could have turned ugly, and so that these agents de-escalated a situation. This was something that was investigated by the internal affairs folks at the FBI, and they decided it didn't violate policy. But now, with the new administration, they've decided otherwise. And so these agents have been reassigned. It looks like a demotion because people have been taken from less from more coveted jobs to less coveted positions in general. And so the question is whether people are getting essentially punished without any of the usual process that people go through inside the FBI.
All right, so there you go. Now, again, this is hysterical. So, and Aaron, can you get that pick up for me as quick as you can? I don't know if you remember to do or not, but yeah, the one with the kneelers. But anyway, the excuses are given by the reporter there on CNN is that they did this for a couple possible reasons, as if he could read their minds. First of all, I just like, tactically speaking, what about those outfits they're wearing? I'm just curious because he says they're surrounded by thousands of George Floyd protesters. And those are your uniforms? I mean, again, I was a cop for 25 years. And you're going out there with a rolled up T-shirt with a bulletproof vest on. And that's it. That's what you're going out with? Okay. But anyway, and of course, half of them still have COVID masks on, of course, when they're standing outside 6 feet apart. But anyway, which is all bullcrap. But anyway, so he said that one of the possible reasons why they knelt for George Floyd, for Black Lives Matter, was to de-escalate. Is that the job of law enforcement, is to acquiesce to the crowd, to de-escalate the crowd? You acquiesce to them? So I guess if they're looting, you join in with the looting? To de-escalate them? Hey, look at me as a cop. I know I'm here to stop the looting, but I'm going to join in with you. Maybe that'll de-escalate you. Is that what you do? So they joined the crowd to de-escalate the crowd? They took a knee where white people are claiming to be inferior to blacks? I thought we were all about non-racism. No, I mean, nobody takes a knee to anybody except God Almighty. He's no, Romans 2:11, he's no respecter of persons. You ought to be no respecter of persons, and you don't kneel before anybody. And none of you had anything to do with slavery and racism anyway. And you're already leftist. Look at the girl with the pink, idiotic, asinine, idiotic mask on her face with her hand over her heart. Swearing allegiance to who? George Floyd, the man who died of fentanyl poisoning, that's who you're swearing allegiance to? The multi-time offender, including a man who held a knife to his wife's pregnant belly? That guy, I swear allegiance to you, George. Wonderful human being that you are, who didn't die from police violence. He died of a fentanyl overdose, having three times the lethal amount in his body at the time of death, with a 95% oxygenation rate to his lungs, which makes it impossible for him to have been asphyxiated / strangled. So how did Derek Chauvin kill him if he wasn't asphyxiated? How did he kill him? In order for Derek Chauvin to have killed George Floyd, it had to be strangulation, asphyxiation, but at the time of death, His oxygenation rate in his lungs was 95%, which is normal. Now, how did he die? So how is Derek Chauvin in prison for 22 years? And how did Derek Chauvin ever get a 22-year sentence when the sentencing guidelines, even for all that they charged him with, was 11 years and they doubled it anyway? Because it's Keith Ellison. Because it's Tim Walz. I'm not saying Tim Walz was the governor at the time, but now he is. Oh, it's not Minnesota. Is it Minnesota? Yeah, Minneapolis, St. Paul. Yeah, Minnesota. Mm-hmm. So she says... He says one of the reasons is de-escalation. The other reason, he says, is they knelt because they're trying to not be political. That is political. How are you not being political by being political? I don't even know how to argue these things. It's like arguing with John Kerry, who said we need to shut down half the farms to prevent people from starving. What do you say? I mean, well, what do you say to people like that? It would be like somebody stabbing themselves in the heart and saying, "Why am I dying? Help me." You just stabbed yourself. Well, I mean, it makes no sense at all. Nothing the left ever says makes sense. It's a fetus, not a person. This doesn't make any sense at all. But again, so they're trying to not be political when kneeling is political. Wouldn't what you're supposed to do to be apolitical in that moment would be to stand there and do your job? You don't have to say anything. You don't have to do anything. Give a monotone expression on your face, and you simply enforce the law. If the law gets broken, you arrest the offender. And at that last thing, he said, IA investigated, yeah, under Christopher Wray, and said, or Comey, whoever it was at the time, and said it didn't violate policy. Oh, really? So I guess that they could all wear pro-Trump outfits then, right? I mean, I guess they could have just, they, you know, this the summer low, so this was actually under Trump, so Christopher Wray was the FBI director. So I guess they could all wear pro-Trump stuff. If you're going to kneel to George Floyd, then I'm assuming that you could wear a MAGA flag, right? But that wouldn't be allowed. But any Democratic Party political expression is allowed, which is where that's the status of our country prior to Trump. Let's go to the next one. Still in the cabinet meeting at Chicago Run. We're at Town Hall. We had Town Hall. All right, townhall.com video. This is nuts. Secretary Rubio just announced that he found dozens of files kept by Joe Biden's State Department that classified American citizens as vectors of disinformation. Play for me.
Something else we got out of the business of, it wasn't widely reported, or maybe it was. We had an office in the Department of State whose job it was to censor Americans. Yeah. And by the way, I'm not going to say who it is. I'll leave it up to them. There's at least one person at this table today who had a dossier in that building of social media posts to identify them as purveyors of disinformation. We have these dossiers. We are going to be turning those over to these individuals.
We can follow up with the media.
Well, we are going to turn over these dossiers to the individuals, and they'll decide whether they want to disclose it or not. But just think about it. The Department of State of the United States had set up an office to monitor the social media posts and commentary of American citizens to identify them as vectors of disinformation, when we know that the best way to combat disinformation is freedom of speech and transparency. And so that's what we're going to be in the business of doing. We're not going to have an office that does that.
So again, this shouldn't surprise anybody, because this is the administration that launched the Disinformation Governance Board under Nina Jankowicz. Remember that? Remember that? Yeah. Oh my gosh. Yeah. I should play it for y'all. I know some of you keep requesting.
I'm going to try to find
whose side are you on? You keep requesting because you know it annoys Aaron. Keep on annoying him. Because I like to annoy Aaron too. So maybe I'll play just to annoy Aaron. But anyway, he likes to annoy me, just so you know. But anyway, so I mean, it's pretty crazy that your government is keeping a dossier with your name on it, depending on who you are, with your name on it as a vector of disinformation with the intention of censoring you. And then all of these people are the ones who are always claiming other people are attacking democracy as they attack the very foundational elements of democracy. Imagine somebody who wants to censor speech accusing you of attacking democracy while they attack democracy. Truly unbelievable. That was under the Biden administration for years. All right, now at Chicago Run One Ray video, breaking at Pam Bondi. This is a great story. Aaron, side by side this for just a second, if you can. So this guy right here, Dylan Adams, I think it's $20,000 worth of damage to six Teslas. And the AG of the state of Minnesota refused to prosecute him. Well, now AG Bondi is charged. Here it is. Breaking, AG Bondi just announced federal charges on a Tesla attacker in Arizona. I don't know why it says it. It's not Arizona. Announced federal charges on a Tesla attacker. I guess they're doing two separate stories. Minnesota's DA refuses to charge Dylan Adams. That's in the picture. If you want, okay, this is just a challenge, right? So she's doing what? This is a challenge from At Chicago One Ray. So this is a challenge. If she can put federal charges on the Tesla attacker in Arizona because the AG in Minnesota under Tim Walz refuses to charge Dylan Adams, this is what Pam Bondi needs to do, is go ahead and charge him federally also. And this will all stop, because we put on one last night. They did it again. Guy in a grocery store parking lot, just like this, doing this stuff. And by the way, this is a state employee who works directly for Tim Walz. Not like his assistant or something, but works under Tim Walz. All right, let's go to the next one. Rapid Response 47 video. So here's the economics happening in America right now. We're going to just do these two in a row, guys. We don't have to have any discussion in between. They're both Rapid 47 videos. First one's Ford CEO Jim Farley. The second one is NVIDIA CEO. Play it for me.
We are. We're building a new plant in Ohio and Tennessee. We're number two to Tesla on electric. We're number three to hybrid to both the Japanese competitors. We're investing across these different kinds of powertrains. We're kind of the only one who offers all of it. You can get electric F-150, a hybrid F-150, a V8 F-150, EcoBoost F-150, and we don't really care. We just want people to be out, have the choice. So we're building two brand new factories in the U.S., and we're the most American already. As far as parts are concerned, that's a good question. Now, we have a lot more work to do to, you know, can we even do this, that 15 or 20%? And that's what we have to work through. Look, we're expecting our competitors to do what Ford's already done, which is to localize more production like this plant here in Kentucky.
And one of the most brilliant men that you'll ever meet, the man that's done in a short period of time something that is incredible, he's the founder, CEO, and president of NVIDIA, Jensen Huang. He's producing up to $500 billion over the next 4 years to manufacture the most powerful AI chips entirely in the USA for the first time ever. Jensen, would you come up and say a few words? This is a smart cookie.
Thank you, Mr. President. It's a great honor to be here. NVIDIA reinvented computing for the first time after 60 years. In fact, Ervin at IBM knows quite well that the computer has largely been the same since the 60s. The IBM System 360 described really quite perfectly the computer that we use today. Central processing units, operating systems, the separation of hardware and software, I/O subsystems, multitasking, all of the words that we use to describe computers today were really invented in 1964, the year after my birth. Well, after all this time, we've reinvented computers again. This is what a processor looks like. It's on the right there. People say it's a GPU. That's one GPU unit, and it's 70 pounds, 60,000 parts, 10,000 watts. In order to manufacture it requires probably a couple of hundred companies in the supply chain. It is so heavy that it requires robotics to do. It's so precise. And in just to test a supercomputer requires a supercomputer. And we're going to build NVIDIA's technology, the next generation of that, all here in the United States. Without the president's leadership, his policies, his support, and very importantly, his strong encouragement. And I mean his strong encouragement. Frankly, manufacturing in the United States wouldn't have accelerated to this pace.
Hey, Aaron, if you could, go back to that first one, the Rapid Response 47 with the Ford CEO, the first one of our little two video montage there, and just run it silently next to me whenever you can. So here's the thing. Look at all of this happening. This is what I really wanted right here. Look at how happy the CNN person is that Ford's happy. Look how happy. Look at her facial expression. While Ford is announcing, you know, they're booming and things are going great and tariffs have had no... Look how happy she is. Look how happy she is. This is, again, this means you have no dignity. You have no integrity. You should be happy that Ford, which, by the way, employs Democrats, not just Republicans, it employs hundreds of thousands of both worldwide. You should be happy that Ford is doing well under Trump and that the tariffs that aren't even in place yet have had no impact, even though you're reporting that they are. You should be happy, right? She should be happy. This has nothing to do with her. Then the NVIDIA CEO is going to build all of their new products in the United States of America. Shouldn't that make you happy? That hundreds of thousands of people are going to get jobs that Biden couldn't produce, that Obama couldn't produce, that Bush couldn't produce. Isn't it amazing? Well, look how happy she is. Look how happy. Look, the joy just overwhelms her. Aaron, you got Nina Jankovic?
I do.
Okay, I just want to remind everybody, this is what we could have had if Trump wasn't in office right now. Play it for me.
Bombering is really quite ferocious. It's when a huckster takes some lies and makes them sound precocious by saying them in Congress or a mainstream outlet. So disinformation's origins are slightly less atrocious. It's It's how you hide a little, hide a little lie. It's how you hide a little, hide a little lie. It's how you hide a little, hide a little lie. When Rudy Giuliani shared bad intel from Ukraine. Or when TikTok influencers say COVID can cause pain. They're laundering disinfo and we really should take note. And not support their lies with our wallet, voice or vote. Oh, information laundering is really quite ferocious. It's when a huckster takes some lies and makes them...
I just wanted to remind you, that was actually, that person was hired by the Biden administration to run the Disinformation Governance Board. And not one thing she's even advocating in that video is true. And that she was then going to govern disinformation, even though all she puts out is, in fact, disinformation. Speaking of that, let's go to the Lockford Files video. Most people know Democrat, Aaron, what do you think of this name? Thanander?
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah, it's
the,
not
the Nader.
It's Alex Jones. I watched him today. It was way better. I think it just goes with. I think it goes side by side.
That's spelled wrong. Though.
No, that's spelled wrong. It's missing the e. But I think a lot of people just say Thander. So I'm gonna go with Thandar, even though that's spelled wrong. There's supposed to be an e between the n and the d. But anyway, Lockford Files video. Most people know Democrat Rep. Sri Thandar for his recent PR stunt to impeach Trump. So that he could raise the $800,000 he actually put together. Which, by the way, just so everybody knows, he's already a multimillionaire. And he wants to create a website called Impeach Trump. It already has. So that you, not that any of us would ever send any money to it, send money to impeach Trump to pay back his $800,000 campaign debt, even though he's a multimillionaire himself. $800,000 is like a $20 bill for him. Most people don't know how he made his money. It's pretty disturbing. Here it is. Play for me.
This is Congressman Sri Thandar. It's time we impeach Donald J. Trump.
Sri Thandar got rich running tests on dogs. Year after year, they were confined to crates with no opportunity to leave. His research company kept over 100 dogs, testing drugs and chemicals on them, never let out of their cages. When Sri's company went bankrupt, it abandoned the building, leaving the starving dogs trapped in their crates.
The court said the wrongfully deported Kilmer Garcia must be allowed to return. Trump ignored it. He ignored the Constitution. He ignored the very checks and balances that keep our democracy intact. That's why today I introduce a resolution to impeach Donald J.
So there you go. I mean, again, and if you want to look into this, Aaron, what's the proper pronunciation for his name? Do you remember? Thandar. It's Thandar. Sri Thandar. I heard Alex Jones say it right today. But anyway, I'm just reading. I caught Crane at 2468. Nice wig, idiot. Yeah. I catch little words on the side with the in the chat. But anyway, again, multimillionaire. What happened was he was running this lab with numerous animals in it, like 50 over. They had I don't remember the type of monkey, but I hate when I can't remember specifics. But they had monkeys and beagles in there, and gosh, it's not the little tiny monkeys either. They're bigger. But anyway, not to say that one's more important than the other. I'm an animal nut. I love animals. But anyway, so this lab goes out of business. What does he do? Secure safe homes, secure families for these pets. Very easy to do with beagles, by the way. I mean, a beagle loves everybody. What does he do? He just abandons the place. No air conditioning, no food, no water. I should have put the more devastating videos, but they bother me too much. I mean, you're talking about like they were, you know, like putting water in a monkey's mouth because it's just laying there. Because this idiot, he loses his business and he just leaves all the animals in there. No AC, no food, no water in their cages. And if it wasn't for other people reporting it, I guess they would have just found the skeletons after they freaking starved to death or died of thirst. That's who these people are. There's no difference. It's like he will slaughter somebody in the womb. There's no difference. There is no difference. I know that there's people that advocate to slaughter other humans in the womb that are animal rights activists, but they're all the same demon. Have they ever watched an abortion? Have they ever watched one? That's a family member of mine, went into the medical industry and they were forced to watch one, turned her pro-life like that. She was pro-choice, turned her pro-life right when she watched her first abortion. When you watch a child scream in the womb, when that needle is injected into their body, they start sucking out their body parts. Yeah, screaming in the womb, resisting the needle with their hands. And suddenly, my relative became pro-life. These people are monsters. The Democratic Party are monsters. They're always calling us monsters. We are not. That's just classic projection, which by the way, was a Mein Kampf tactic right from Joseph Goebbels. Call everybody that which you are. I could spend all night on that. All right, let's go to Texas for a couple minutes. Everyone, you know, again, everybody thinks Texas is red. We need to be watching Texas closely. Texas is being overrun. They've already declared a Bangladeshi day. They've already declared a Pakistani day. They've already declared a rogue, sort of unknown Iranian, Aaron told me. It's actual day, but Aaron found out the definition. Iranian religion day. They had a Islamophobic awareness day. I'm not making this up. They all have their designated days. That's at least four. Now, Carlos Tercius, make sure you follow this Carlos Tercius on Twitter. Breaking, the Texas House passed a bill to criminalize political memes. We already had somebody locked up for putting out a political meme. Remember that? I thought all of us Republicans were against people being locked up for speech. Not the Republicans in Texas. I thought this was a right-wing state. No, it has right-wing voters that vote in fake right-wing politicians who then legislate as Democrats because they all are actually Democrats, and it's all on purpose, and it's all planned. It's all a covert act. House Bill 366 would lock up anyone for a year unless political memes or altered media have a government disclaimer. These are right-wingers who want government disclaimers on speech. Again, this is a complete fraud huckster show in the state of Texas. Play it for me.
This is Mr. Phelan to explain the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. HB 366 is a step towards transparency and integrity in political advertising. Move passage.
Question occurs on passage to engrossment. Question occurs.
I just wanted to show you being passed. Too boring to continue on. Go to the next for me, Cambry video. And by the way, Aaron brought it up for me. They passed a Zoroastrianism day. These are Republicans. That is an Iranian pseudo-religion. Why? Bangladeshi day, Pakistani day, Zoroastrianism day, Islamophobic awareness day is all being passed in the state of Texas. It is the weirdest Twilight Zone government I have ever seen. I mean, it is really weird. Republicans who don't have to relinquish positions of leadership inside the House and the Senate relinquish their leadership positions to Democrats just out of being good-hearted. Do you believe that? All right, Cambry tweet. The Texas House passed a dystopian bill. She says some more information on it. Criminalizing people for hurting fragile feelings with memes. Rep. Andy Hopper was on the back mic, but Landgraf, these are the people that need to be looked into, Landgraf, totally ignored him. Texas is becoming California 2.0 thanks to Republican House Speaker Dustin Burroughs, who these people are all passing these bills as it would be like Republicans passing a pro-abortion bill, a Republican passing a banning of speech bill, a Republican in Texas passing a gun-grabbing bill. That's what they're doing. And by the way, they certainly will in the near future. It's coming. Here's the article about it. Text from Texas Scoreboard. Posting a political meme could soon land you in jail. If State Rep Dan Phelan, who was caught being drunk when he used to be the Speaker of the House, so now this is political revenge, gets his way. House bill, it's a Republican. Dan Phelan needs to be looked into. Dustin Burroughs needs to be looked into. Who are these people, really? House Bill 366 would make it a crime to distribute altered media, including political memes, without the government-approved disclaimer. Violators could face up to a year in jail. The State Affairs Committee will take up the bill by the former Speaker of the House on Wednesday alongside a state of energy transmission legislation. It is the first hearing of the committee on legislation this session. The bill specifically targets political advertising that features an image, audio recording, or video recording of office holders or candidates' appearance, speech, or conduct that did not occur in reality. So now you're going to have a reality board. You're going to put Nina back. You're going to put Nina in charge of that. They ought to look to hire Nina Jankowicz. As Will pointed out when we were watching these videos, Nina Jankowicz is believed has been hired by the by the UN or something else overseas. They can go find her and hire her. She can get on their board that decides what is altered, what is not. A video recording at the Office of Social Candidate. The broad language includes media altered using generative artificial intelligence technology, so Nina can decide which one is that. The Texas Ethics Commission, that could be headed by Nina Jankowicz, would have the authority to determine specific format, font size, and color. They get to determine what, imagine that, a governmental board. You have to go through a governmental board to post a meme in the state of Texas. If it has anything to do with politics, which what doesn't? What doesn't have something to do with politics? Unbelievable. I mean, truly unbelievable. I got two there. I got to show you these two before we go. And it's 10-11. 11 minutes into overtime. All right. Has this got any audio? Aaron,
yeah.
Is this just?
Yep.
Okay. End wokeness video. Dems have been sitting. I think they're gone now. But this is led by Cory Booker, who for some reason likes to do long, extended periods of nothingness. 25 hours straight, he gave he filibustered on the floor of the Senate and nobody even noticed. And now he's sitting on the steps of the Capitol doing what we don't really know. Play for me.
We got some power here. Now, we said we were anchoring ourselves in the moral traditions when we came out here over 10 hours ago. Hakeem and I said this is a bigger moment than politics. This is a moral moment in America, and we were going to sit here for a long time. I didn't know we'd be sitting for 10 hours, but it's 10 hours and we're still going, and we got some great people here. But the moral traditions...
It's, I mean, doing what? I mean, they're doing what exactly? I mean, and doing what? Side by side this one for me so I can intro it. There's Hakeem Jeffries sitting right there, Raphael Warnock in the video before. Everybody's sitting around, sitting on the steps of the Capitol doing what? And as Aaron aptly pointed out, everybody knows how Cory Booker's getting fatter and fatter and fatter. It's great. I love it. Sitting around doing nothing. So anyway, just have to introduce this to you because everybody likes Which Side Are You On? They're singing again. So this can be our new TLP song.
Oh, no.
It's our new TLP song.
Oh, no.
From Dave Rubin, a queer rabbi singing with, but he is married to another man. So I don't know whether he's the giver or the receiver, but anyway, he's married to another man. He's whisker on whisker crime on a daily basis. A queer rabbi, which is, I mean, euphemism just in and of itself, while someone behind him, that's apropos, holds a sign about a place where he himself would be beheaded. It's hysterical because there's a Free Palestine sign behind him. He would be beheaded as a queer man, period. And then he'd be sped to the front of the line to be beheaded as a queer rabbi. Here's the new TLP theme song. Play it for me.
You know the song from the beginning. I will build this world from love. Ya-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And you must build this world from love. Ya-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And if we build this world from love. Ya-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Then God will build this world from love. Yada lie, 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 yada lie, lie. Let's build the country we deserve now.
The asinine idiocy of being a Democrat in 2025 is summed up in this picture. Let's build this world from love. Let it die, to die, 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 which is exactly what he would do in Palestine. You could just say, I would let it die, 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 die in Palestine. I mean, that's it. This epitome. He's singing to a gay, queer rabbi, having sex with a man every day of his life in the same group as somebody saying free Palestine who would throw him off a 5-story building or behead him. In the same group, allegedly advocating the same political agenda. It makes absolutely no sense. You can't even talk about it. All right, 10:15, that's it. Got any rants? Oh, lots of people in the rant. New monthly supporter, Bagel Boy, thank you so much. The Rants Tonight, Hassle-Free TV, $20. Tony Nuthead, $10. Mike Griffin, $5. Naz Yeager, $2. Thank you guys so much in the rant. Thank you guys so much in the chat. Stick around for the post game. As always, it is awesome. Back here tomorrow night, 9 o'clock. God bless you.
Thank you for watching the Tom Lipley podcast. We appreciate your support. As a special thank you, when you donate $25 or more, you'll receive a free TLP mug. Sip your favorite beverage while enjoying all the insights from our episodes. Your support helps us keep bringing you current events from around the globe. Donate now to claim your mug.